Good morning, everyone. As we mentioned last week, we're going to begin this morning with a little bit of an explanation. Communion is a time to reflect on what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He gave his life for us so that we could have forgiveness and be made right with God and know God's incredible love for us. When we take the bread, it's a reminder of his body that was broken for us. When we drink the juice, it's a reminder of his blood that was poured out for us. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead, and we can rejoice in that, but he went through something awful because it was the only way that we could be with him forever. When we take a step of faith, put our trust in Jesus, believe in him as the Son of God, we get life forever with him. That's what communion is about. But you know, every church does things a little bit differently when it comes to communion. Some do bread, some do wafers, some do crackers, some do juice, others do wine. There may be a few of you out there who forgot we were doing communion and are doing coffee and donuts this morning. That's okay, because the point isn't what communion looks like or tastes like. The point is that we're remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, similarly, different churches have different teachings about the purpose of communion and who should participate. Some churches teach that Christians are the only ones who should participate in communion. It's reserved for Christians, believers only. I was a part of a church where every time we did communion, we heard something like this: if you have not yet come to be a follower of Jesus, you should probably just let the elements pass by. And that always bothered me, both practically and theologically. Practically, because it was telling someone they couldn't participate, that they couldn't be a part of this thing. And what message does that send? But theologically, it was also a problem. See, usually churches will point to a passage, specifically in 1 Corinthians 11. We're not going to look it up, but those of you who are familiar with it know that it tells us to examine our hearts and not eat the Lord's Supper or communion in an unworthy manner. And it warns that even if we do, or if we do, we would be heaping condemnation upon ourselves. It's pretty intense. And sometimes we take that to mean if you're not a follower of Christ, if someone isn't a follower of Christ, they shouldn't participate. But the context is about Christians who were excluding others from their community meals. Right? Some people were going hungry beforehand, while others were overfull and getting drunk. And there was favoritism and all kinds of problems that were resulting. So the instruction was given for them to eat at home before they came to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to share in communion together. The bottom line of that passage is that it wasn't about who participated in the Lord's Supper. It was the terrible manner in which they were doing it and the fact that they were excluding others from their community. And Paul writes, examine your hearts about this. Right? Examine your hearts. Now, here's another thing that bothered me about that approach, as long as I'm venting. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on the night before he died, the disciples were there. Even Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, who is called by John in his gospel the son of destruction, even Judas was included. Jesus didn't turn him away, even though he knew what Jesus was going to do to him. Why would we do any differently to people who don't know the love of Jesus yet? Now, I recognize that there is a danger here, and especially in our culture where communion has become just commonplace and people don't think about it too much. Some people think just because they take communion, they're good with God. Like taking communion gets them into heaven or something. That's not true. There isn't anything magical about the act of taking communion itself. Communion doesn't make us right with God. Our faith in Jesus is what makes us right with God. And that's true for every single one of us. kids included. Now, remember, the communion meal that was being shared was a Passover meal. This was typically shared with the family. The kids would be gathered around. They'd be participating in what was taking place. Right? The family was going to be participating in this thing, and the kids were going to be learning what God had done for them by participating in this meal. Now, Jesus flipped that a bit and took what was commonplace in their day and said, this is a reflection of me. Do this in remembrance of me. But Jesus had participated in that very meal many times as a child, right? It was designed to help kids learn what God had done. There's nothing in Scripture that instructs us to exclude anyone from participating in communion. And that's why at Portico Church, we're inviting everyone to participate. All those of you who are at home, maybe on your own, maybe gathered in a family, you're invited to participate. We encourage you to participate. For those who are followers of Jesus, this is a very meaningful, significant thing that we're doing, right? Remembering what Jesus has done for us. But if you are out there listening, participating this morning, and you haven't taken that step of faith to become a follower of Jesus, to put your faith and trust in him, you're invited to participate too. And realize that this is an opportunity for you. It's an opportunity, an invitation to take that step of faith and to put your trust in Jesus. It's an invitation to come and receive the mercy, the grace, and the eternal life that we've come to know through him. So again, we're going to be sharing communion from home this morning as part of our kids' worship time. Sherry, my wife, or Mrs. Sherry, to the kids at home, she's going to be leading us in some songs and in our time of communion together. So if you've gathered your communion elements, the bread, the juice, or whatever it is you're using, keep that handy because we'll be doing that in a few minutes. But before we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to gather together, not in one place, but to gather as one from our homes, from our living rooms, across the internet, and to share in this significant, significant thing. We're grateful for what you have done for us on the cross. We're celebrating that. We're remembering that this morning. And for those who might be watching thinking, I have never taken that step of faith with Jesus, he is inviting you to do that now. And we simply do it by praying to him in our own thoughts, in our own words, to say, Jesus, I know I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you did die on that cross for me. And I surrender my life to you. Jesus, we know you hear our hearts. Hear our hearts as we worship this morning, as we worship you. And hear our hearts as we come to this communion table, spread out throughout this Fox Valley, to reflect on what you've done. We thank you for this time, and we commit it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.